I apologize for my Spanish. It's not up to par.
No, sorry, I'm
going to have to stick to English. No. Not sorry at all. I'm very happy. If anybody wants, I'm going to be reading inside part of the time. You're welcome to follow inside or not. There's a pasuk in the Torah, three words. Bechol derachecha da'ehu. In all of your paths, in all of your ways, know Hashem. Bechol derachecha da'ehu. Dalet ayin hevav da'ehu. Know Him. In all of your paths, know Hashem. This is a famous pasuk, which is similar to another pasuk, which says, Shiviti Hashem lenegdi tamid. I place Hashem in front of me all the time. I never forget, I always think about Hashem. In today's world, how many people think that that's possible, that it's humanly possible? There are so many distractions that take us into a million different places. You get a person who gets involved and he looks up, I forgot to pray mincha. A person who's used to praying mincha at a certain time every day, not everybody is privileged, like our good friend here, Jacko, who knows there's a clock and at 2:30 I have a regular minyan for mincha. People get involved in things and, oops, I forgot this, I forgot that kind of thing. In terms of from the minute a person wakes up in the morning till a person's running around, is it humanly possible to be connected to Hashem all the time, that a person doesn't forget? Well, I finished eating, I forgot to make Birkat HaMazon. I got a telephone call, I got interrupted, I walked away. I was going to come back, I thought I was going to, and I forgot, that kind of thing. There are so many different possibilities of getting disconnected, detached. So is there something that a person could do that gives a person such a deep, solid connection to Hashem that it's 24/7, that the person is always connected and they don't forget Hashem at all, anytime? There was a rabbi that lived in the 1600s called the Chida, Rabbi Chaim Yosef David Azulai, a Sephardic rabbi, a giant. He wrote 80 books during his lifetime, and he did a lot of traveling. He originated, I think, from Europe, Italy, one of the countries. He moved to Israel. He lived in Israel for a while, and all the rabbis in Israel got together and insisted that he go out of Israel, that he travel to help support all the rabbis in Israel. They needed a person who was really qualified to represent all the rabbis in Israel, that if people, the communities in Europe would meet him, they would have enough respect for him. They would know, if this is an example of a rabbi in Israel, then we want to help these people, that kind of thing. And he traveled, and he wrote books on his travels. He wrote about the different places he went to, also different things. A giant. He wrote books in halacha, in Hebrew law. He wrote books in Kabbalah. He wrote books in drush. Everything. Tremendous giant. And this rabbi asked this question, is there something a person can do? And he said, yes. He said, it's called hitbodedut. The first letters of those three words that we mentioned before, bechol derachecha da'ehu, bet dalet, badad. Badad means alone. What do you mean alone? Alone with Hashem. Spending time alone, by a person spending private time alone with Hashem, one-on-one, disconnecting from everything else. It's just Hashem and me. And I'm writing this, no books, I'm writing the script. I'm speaking from my own heart, you know, expressing everything I would want to express with Hashem. A person who does this, this creates such a connection to Hashem, such a deep connection to Hashem, that even when he's not doing it, when he's working, when he's eating, when he's talking to his family, he's connected. That connection remains solid, solid. This bechol derachecha, in all of his ways, he's connected. Now this term, hitbodedut, somebody said before, meditation, there are different translations. There are many rabbis and many books that use this term hitbodedut in different ways. Some rabbis use the word hitbodedut to mean meditation, where a person sits, they don't speak, they just close their eyes, they think, they let go. They let go of everything in the physical world, the materialistic world, and try to connect, make a mental connection to Hashem. to something above. Rabbi Nachman uses the word hitboredut in a very specific way, that it means, again, disconnecting from everything in the world and connecting directly with Hashem through speech, by talking to Hashem in your own words, where you write the script. Nobody's writing it for you. And again, it's in your language. It's not in Hebrew, some other language where you don't understand exactly what the words mean, or it's not your first language. You're speaking in the language that's most familiar to you, so that you can express yourself the best. You have the ability to really, really express what you're feeling in your heart. This is the term hidboredut, the way Rabbi Nachman uses it. And again, the Chida speaks of, he's not the only one who mentions it, but he's the one who made a tremendous issue about it. He stressed that it's the most important connection to Hashem that a person can make on a daily basis, and that it covers everything in a person's life, physically, materialistically, spiritually, can be included in this. This can be a key, like a skeleton key, like you have a hotel that has 500 rooms, each person gets their own key, and you can't come into my room, I can't come. And the manager has a skeleton key that opens all the doors. That this is a key, this is something that has the ability to open, to connect a person to Hashem in, for anything possible that a person could need or want. Anything. Rabbi Nachman speaks about it in a number of places. I'd like to take one of the clearest places where he defines exactly what this is, how a person does it, and what it accomplishes. And I think we should be able to cover this now. And then afterwards we'll take questions and we'll expound on it. He begins with the words, Hahidbodedut humala eliona ugedola min hakol. This is the top and above everything else. What do you mean? How could you say it's above learning Torah if it says V'talmud Torah keneged kulam? Learning Torah covers everything. The answer is because in order to fulfill the Torah, a person could learn and learn, study and study and study, and when it comes to actually fulfilling it, they're not successful because they need divine assistance. The Gemara itself says that every single day there's an angel. You wake up in the morning, and there's an angel that wakes up and he has your name on his phone. And his mission is to block you every step of the way, to oppose you every single possible way he comes. And he's got new tricks. It's not to say yesterday's angel. He's got a new program every single day to distract you or to convince, you know, to get you, to block you from doing things that'll really help you, and chas v'shalom to entice you to doing things that'll harm you, that kind of thing. And the Gemara says, Ilmole HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ozro, unless Hashem is helping the person, lo yachalo, you have no chance to succeed against this angel. One-on-one against an angel, no match. We're no match for him. It's only if a person receives divine assistance that you have a chance that you could beat the angel, you could defeat him. And in order to...
Is that the Yetzer Hara?
Exactly. The wording in the Gemara is, Bechol yom vayom yitzro shel adam mitgaber alav u'mitchadesh alav. Every single day, the Yetzer Hara gets stronger. And new attractions, new games, new things. Ve'ilmalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ozro, and were it not for Hashem helping the person, lo yachol lo. You can't win. Can't win. So we're being told up front that it's not just a mind kind, it's not just an issue of intelligence, that I'm going to study, I'm going to know what to do, and I'm going to do it. I could study and study, and when the situation actually comes up, do the wrong thing. There are people who go to diet classes, and they study, they program about not it, and then when the plate of food is put in front of them, they can't help themselves, supposedly. What do you mean? What, you're nuts? You're crazy? The answer is yes. The Gemara says that the Yetzer Hara makes a person crazy. It's called temporary insanity. That for that moment, person makes a certain decision, and the person says, why did I do that? How much pleasure did I get from it? In all honesty, it's a joke. And now I'm going to suffer for it. I'm talking on the most basic level. Person overeats, you know, and it lasts, how long is it? 15 minutes, 20 minutes? And then it takes days to get rid of that. Exercise for days and days to get rid of 1 kilo and 2 kilo, so much. Person says, was it, you know, I'm saying it seems so silly. How could I be so silly? And the answer is, it's not, there's an angel. It's not a little boy, it's an angel that's opposing each and every one of us. That's his mission. His mission is, and again, his mission is to help us, because it's by engaging this opponent. And when you win, if you defeat him, then you deserve to be rewarded. Then a person shows that they're one of the king's men. I'm one of the king's men. Now Rabbi Nachman says, how do we define hetbodedut? This means for a person to reserve at least an hour or more, he says, to spend time alone, either in a room, in a field, wherever you can have privacy, and really open up and express all of your feelings to Hashem, any complaints you have, any issues that are bothering you in any way, but to try to say it in a graceful way. You're speaking to a king. You're speaking to the creator of the world. So you want to try to say it with as much respect and sweetness as you can. You're pleading, you're negotiating here. You're trying to negotiate on your own behalf. You want to try to really convince Hashem as to why. Hashem, but the Torah, Banim Atem Lash, I'm your son. I am your son. You call me your son. A father always is concerned about his son. Even if a son makes mistakes, he's still a son. You can't divorce a son. And plead with Hashem to really bring us close to him. That's the most important request. Hashem, bring me close to you. I want to be close to you. I want to understand what your expectations are for me, and I want to try to fulfill it to the best that I possibly can. And Rabbi Nachman writes, this prayer should be in the language that the person is most familiar with, whether it's French, Spanish, Yiddish, whatever language is. Because he says in Hebrew, in Lashon Kodesh, it's hard for a person to really express everything they want to say if it's not your first language. And in addition, because it's not your first language, it's more difficult to put your heart into it. As much as a person wants, when he's praying the Amidah, when he's reading Tehillim, he wants to put his heart into it. And a person can to a certain degree, but it's nowhere near if you're speaking in your own language. If you're speaking Spanish, whatever it is, the language that you're most familiar with, there you can really express yourself much better, you know, completely. And he says, therefore, in your own language, it's much easier to open up your heart and to break your heart before Hashem and really say, express everything you need to express. Now, what is everything? Number one, to express sincere regret for my mistakes. There's a pasuk in the Torah that says, "Mechase psha'av lo yatzliach." That if a person covers up their mistakes, they cover up their sins, they ignore it, they try to make believe it's not there, the person will not succeed. You're dealing with Hashem, who sees everything, knows everything. That option isn't really available. Umodeh ve'ozev yirucham. Umodeh, but if a person admits, modeh means I admit I made a mistake. I made a mistake, I was wrong, I didn't do the right thing. Ve'ozev, and the person tries to do what they can not to repeat the mistake, Yerucham, Hashem will have kindness on them, Hashem will have pity on them. There's actually a pasuk that says that when a person commits a sin, the words of the Torah that define that sin are engraved on the person's bones. We don't see it, it's not like if a doctor will operate, he'll see Lo Tignov, he'll see that. On a spiritual level, those words, it's a pasuk. Vatehi avonotam chakuka al atzmotam. Their sins were engraved on their bones. It's there. The great tzaddikim, the Arizal, the Ari HaKadosh, person would come to him and he was able to look at the person's forehead and be able to tell exactly what that person, which mitzvot the person did, what he was lacking, different kinds of things. How does a person get those letters to leave? When we speak. When a person says, Hashem, I apologize, I made a mistake yesterday, I ate something that I shouldn't, that I wasn't sure if it was kosher or not, whatever the mistake is, a person verbalizes, That's those letters that were originally inscribed on the bones that are leaving, being removed from the person. Now, a person would say, well, I don't understand that. The words that... How did Hashem create the world? With the words of Hashem, the world was created. Hashem said, let there be light. Excuse me? Exactly. Shakonia bidvaro, with his words. And that's why we are considered the most important thing in creation, human beings. There are gorgeous plants. There are flowers that are worth thousands of dollars, and perfumes. And there are beautiful animals, and there are all kinds of important things in the world. The most significant thing in the world is man, human beings, who are called medaber. What differentiates us from everything else in creation is intelligent speech. Animals also speak, but it's on a different level completely. All of us know that. A human being has the ability to speak intelligently or to speak unintelligently. The Gemara says that one of the rabbis, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, once made a statement that, you know, if I would have been around when Hashem created the world, I first thought I would have done something differently. Hashem gave us two eyes, two ears, two nostrils, and the most important thing, the tongue. He gave us only one tongue. But he said, after living here for a couple of years, I see that with one tongue and with two walls in front of it, the teeth and the lips, it's still getting us into trouble all the time. The thing that's getting us into the most trouble is the mouth. If I misuse it, chas v'shalom, if I speak profanity, chas v'shalom, if I speak lashon hara, motzi shem, you know, all kinds of terrible things. And on the other hand, the mouth is the most powerful weapon of a person. It's the connection to Hashem. The Shekhinah, the divine spirit, is in the mouth. The word lashon, which in Hebrew, tongue, lashon, is bigimatria Shekhinah, the word Shekhinah, the same numerical value. The word safa means lips. The word safa is bigimatria Shekhinah, the same numerical value as safa, the word safa. Safa, exactly. Hashem sifatai tiftach. Sifatai is lips. Safa is a lip. 385. The word Shekhinah is 385. The word peh, which means mouth, the word peh is bigimatria Elokim. The divine presence of Hashem is going to be defined by my mouth, by my lips. Every word of Torah that I speak and every word of prayer that I say is a wire. It's a wire connecting me to Hashem.
Excuse me, Safa, and what else?
And Lashon. Lashon means tongue, the tongue. Lashon is 386. In Kabbalah, very often we count the word itself as one. So if it's 386, it's 385 plus one for the word itself. Very often you have that connection. That it doesn't have to be exactly the same. If it's off by one, it's still considered the same gematria. You follow? Safa is 385. Shekhinah is 385. The word Lashon is 386. We learn this out because the Gemara says that Yaakov Avinu once made a statement. He had children and he had grandchildren. And he wanted to tell his son Yosef that your children are going to be to me exactly like my own children. So he said, Ephraim u'Menashe kiru'uvein v'shimon yihuli. Your two sons, Ephraim and Menashe, that are my grandchildren, I'll consider them like my own sons, Ruvain Shimon. So the Gemara says, if you take a look at the numerical value, Ephraim and Menashe equals Reuven and Shimon. But it's off by one. There's one difference. So we say one represents the combination, the whole, the klaliut, the totality of it. Now, so we see that sometimes if it's less one, more one, it's still considered the same. So that's how precious the mouth is in terms of being the connection to Hashem. So we said, number one of the important pieces of Hitboredut is Charata. Thinking over the mistakes that I made today. The mistakes in my relationship with Hashem. I wanted to go to the synagogue today. I woke up and then I hesitated a minute and I woke up. I thought a minute later and I missed the whole thing. It's an hour later. I missed the whole prayer. Or I came halfway through the prayer, chas v'shalom, you know, that kind of thing. Or, again, I got angry at my wife. I got angry at my son. I pushed somebody. I cut in front of somebody and the guy was not forgiving. The guy said, I don't forgive you. What do you mean? My time is also important. You know, we make all kinds of mistakes. And Hashem expects us to be accountable to ourselves. For a person to think, you're not an angel, he doesn't expect perfection, but he expects accountability, an audit, you know, that kind of thing. On a daily basis, to think about the thing, what I did and what I didn't do, and what I said and what I didn't say, and what I thought about and what I didn't think about. And if I realize that I made a mistake, to verbalize it. To acknowledge clearly. On Rosh Hashanah Kippur, we say, Al-Chet Shechatan Olam. We specify specific things. But a person is also judged every night. Every night when a person goes to sleep, the Zohar HaKadosh says, the soul goes up to heaven and is judged. And they can judge a person only if the person didn't judge themselves. When the angel comes to prosecute, and the angel says, Hashem, let me tell you what this guy did. Hashem says, I heard about it. Next. I heard it already. This is what the Gemara says. Kisheyesh din lemata, ein din lemala. If there's judgment down here on earth, if the person is auditing himself, Hashem says, I don't need to audit him. If I have a child and a child does something wrong and the child comes to daddy and says, Daddy, I want you to know I made a mistake. I did that. Daddy says, okay, try harder tomorrow, that kind of thing. He doesn't need to get hit. He doesn't need to get punished. He doesn't need to get reprimanded. This is what the Gemara says. So that's a critical piece, this charata. And thanking Hashem, showing hakarat hatov. You want to ask somebody for help, that kind of thing. Person comes, and this person helped you already 3 or 4 times. You come a 5th time to ask them. The person sometimes gets tired, this or that. But if you come, I wanted to thank you very, very much for what you did for me yesterday or last year. You have no idea how much it helped me and my family. And I'm still benefiting from what you did that time for me, that kind of thing. A person starts off that way. That opens the door and makes it easy to be able to ask for the person to be willing to help the person again. I see this person doesn't forget, because sometimes that's what a person thinks. When you come to a person again and again, what do you mean? I just helped you before. You forgot? I'll never forget what you do for me, and especially if it's Hashem. I'll never forget that I woke up this morning and I'm not in the hospital. I'm healthy. My eyes are working. My legs are working. I can walk by myself. I see other people in a walker. I see a person in a wheelchair. How lucky, how blessed I am that I can take care of myself. All the different blessings. I'm married. I have children. Each one to be able to go through the list of things that they have to really express appreciation to Hashem before you make any requests. Because if you start off, please give me this, it's not the same. A person wants to have grace. You need to have grace in the eye. Hashem's heart has to be open. And the way that you open Hashem's heart is by showing genuine appreciation for the things He's helped you with till now. So that's another very important piece of it. And then 3 comes, asking specifically for the things that you need. And again, being very specific. The Zohar HaKadosh gives an example with Yaakov Avinu. That Yaakov Avinu, the son of Yitzchak, at one point his brother Esav wanted to kill him. And he was coming with an army of 400 men to kill Yaakov because he took the blessings from him and because he did this, all kinds of complaints. And the Torah says that Yaakov Avinu opens up with a prayer to Hashem. What is his prayer? Hatzilenina. Hashem, please save me, miyad achi, from my brother. And then he says, miyad Esav, from Esav. The Zohar HaKadosh says he didn't have any, he only had one brother. Why did he have to say miyad? Because the Zohar HaKadosh says, because sometimes a person will call his brother-in-law my brother. Or he'll call another relative. We're like brothers. So the Zohar HaKadosh says, exactly. It wasn't enough to say, he had to say, miyad Esav. And he had to say, why? Penyavo vehikani, because I'm afraid he's gonna come and he's gonna beat me up because of this and this reason. Even though Hashem knows what's in your mind or what's in your heart, so then why do I have to go into detail if Hashem knows? The answer is, it's for you. It's to express it. Here again, a person is very thirsty and they want to drink, and I have this delicious cold water, and I start pouring, and you don't put out a cup. Or you put out a cup, you put out a little whiskey cup, a 1 ounce cup, and I start pouring 6-7 ounces, your shoes are going to get wet and your pants are going to get wet and you're going to be pretty upset. In order to be able to receive, you have to have a cup. And according to the size of the cup that you prepare, that will define the amount of shefa. If a person says, Hashem, please help me have a good day, see you later, and he walks away, he's putting a whiskey cup out there, he's putting a little thing. And if a person says, Hashem, I need to talk to you, I need to tell you, my life is at stake. I have a wife and children, there's very important things going on in my life now that I need your assistance. I need your guidance. I need your direction. Today I have a meeting at 9 o'clock with this and this person, and I want to be able to say the right things, and I want to find favor in his eyes. I want his heart to be open to listen to what I have to say. And I want the person to show up. The more a person is specific, now again, even with specific, you have to be careful, because sometimes a person can ask for something, they think that something is good. Hashem, please help me sell this to this and this person. And the person's prayer is answered, and then he finds that a minute later he could have gotten double or triple had he waited another day. So it's always important to include, if this is the right thing. You, Hashem, really know what, you know what's best for me, better than anything else. Right now, I'm trying to get my daughter into this school. It seems that this is the best school for her. Hashem, we have a meeting today. Please help us get her into this school. If it's the right thing, if this is really the right school for her. And if not, Hashem, please, you choose for me. You guide me. You direct me. I was always making sure to make it perfectly clear that I don't know.
I might want or wish.
I want to wish based on my limitations, based on how it looks to me. But how many people are shown very times? I give an example many times. One of my rabbis, his name was Rabbi Rosenfeld, who was also my father-in-law, Zichron Avracha, a tremendous Talmid Chacham and a very intelligent person. And he lived as simple as could be. He lived in a one-bedroom apartment, 4 children. The 2 boys and 2 girls shared the bedroom growing up. And the parents had a high-riser in the living room that during the day it was a couch. In the evening it would open up to be 2 beds. That's how they lived. Very simple. In New York. I'm not talking about in Me'er Sharim. In New York. Lived a very simple life. And yet extremely intelligent and smart. He had a brother-in-law who was wealthy, a businessman, successful. This is 50, 60 years ago, in the record business, music, and did very, very well. And the brother-in-law liked him. The brother-in-law wasn't that religious, but he supported Torah. He helped support him and support Kollel and Yerushalayim and everything. And the brother-in-law knew that one of the things that the rabbi wanted most important in life was Eretz Yisrael. He loved Israel and used to come to visit Israel often, but he never had his own place. So the brethren thought, I'm going to give him a gift, the most valuable gift. I'm going to buy him an apartment in Israel. In those days, we're talking about 50, 60 years ago, he bought an apartment in Yerushalayim, in Geula, for $17,000. A 3-bedroom, small 3-bedroom apartment. On paper, the building wasn't built yet. It was going to be built, a new building being built on Rehov Hoshea. I can show you the building today. I can show you the apartment. Sure enough, bought it, and he told his brother-in-law, he was elated. And he told him, I want you to go there, meet with the builder. He'll show you the plans and everything. You'll choose which apartment you want. Okay, he chose not the ground floor, 1 flight up, not 3. Easy to get to. And a front apartment. I want to have the view. I don't want to be in the back. You know, they build a building, and he comes the following summer or two, whenever he comes, and he comes to the building with the builder, and he wants to see his apartment. He's ready to see his apartment, and the builder takes him, and he says, this is your apartment. It's a back apartment. He says, this is a lie. I signed for a front apartment. There's no question at all. You know, Zema Sheyesh, as we say in French. This is it. This is what you have. All the other apartments are... How could you do such a thing? And again, there was nothing more important. This was the only thing he really owned in life that was special to him. He was devastated. You know, he felt terrible. When he started living in the apartment, he saw that the people that had the front apartments, till like 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, they have to keep their trisim closed. The sun is so powerful there that you can't keep the windows shuttered. Otherwise you can't sit in the room. It gets so hot. The back apartments have shade most of the day. He used to sit on a chair on his back porch and learn Tikkuni Zohar, everything. It was Gan Eden. And he told us this story, you know, for us to know. He was a smart person, intelligent person. He chose something which he was positive he made the right choice. Hashem said, let me show you. I'm going to give you what you really need that was 100 times better. Really, I'm telling you. The front apartments, for the first half a day, you couldn't be in that part of your apartment. You had to be on the other side because the sun is super intense there. So here again, all of us are making choices and decisions every day. What do? We flip a coin. Heads, I win, you know. I'll buy, I'll sell, I'll this, or the, I'll put my kid in this school, that school. How do you do this without consulting with Hashem? And without telling Hashem, here's the keys. Please, you lead, you guide me. Like David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Ata tomich gorali. You choose my lot for me. You direct me and guide me to make the right choices. Now, a person would think this is relatively easy. There's so much to talk about, so much to say. Rabbi Nachman writes that there are times that a person wants to talk and they can't. The words aren't coming out. They just can't get the words out. He says even when the person can't get the words out, just sitting there in the room that you go into or going to and wanting to speak, Hashem knowing that I'm here, I want to talk, but I can't get the words out, is also very special. Very special. Don't say, no, I have nothing to talk, all right, I'll wait till tomorrow. No, not waiting tomorrow. This is my meeting with Hashem. This is my 15 minutes. I ain't leaving. I'm not walking out. I'm here. I'm going to try to speak. And if I have nothing to say, then I'm just going to wait till Hashem sends me a divine inspiration to give me the words. Just like when we start the Amidah. Every day when we start the Amidah, we say, Hashem Sifatai Tiftach. What does that mean? You can't open your lips? You're stuck? No. You're saying, Hashem, give me the ability, give me the privilege to speak to you. And again, to speak to you properly, that the words should come from my heart, it should be sincere, it should be honest, it should find favor in your eyes. It should have chen in your eyes. There's this incredible magic quality called chen, grace. You have two people can say the same thing, or two people, two salesmen come into a person they want to sell. One person, the guy sees the person, he says, the secretary, tell him I'm not here. Tell him I'm in Manchuria, tell him I'm, whatever you have to, I don't want to see the guy. What do you mean I don't see? I saw the person's face and I know, not interested. I don't care if he's got a briefcase of money. No thanks, don't want to know. And then another person sometimes comes and I want to hear what this person has to say. They have that magic quality called chen. Chen means grace, charm, where just spending time with that person is enjoyable. It doesn't matter what they're saying. I just want to be with this person. Interesting to note that Rabbi Nachman says that one of the ways that a person acquires this chen is through studying Torah. There's a pasuk in Mishlei that says that the Torah is called Ya'alat Chen. That if a person studies the Torah properly, it places a grace on the person that makes that person likable. That Hashem sees the guy and says, oh, I'm happy to see him. Let's hear what he has to say. I want to hear what this person has to say. And again, when a person can't speak, then that's one of the most important things to ask Hashem for. Hashem, I know that I have a life. I know that I should have 1,000 things to talk to you about. And I have a wife and I have children. And each one, there's so many important things going on in their life now. And there's a whole future. Wouldn't I want, if I had a chance, to go to somebody who could help me in every possible way? And the person says, okay, this is going back 30 years ago. I was visiting New York. And somebody introduced me to a person who owned a huge electronics business, very wealthy guy. And they told me, go to him, tell him about your kollel, maybe he'll help you. And it was early in the morning, it was 9 o'clock in the morning, Midtown Manhattan, and I'm coming to see him. And I come into the office, and I see his office is about 5-6 times the size of this room. Gigantic office. And I came in, he was on the phone, and he's talking excitedly and everything. And I start looking around the room and I see a picture of him with the mayor, with the governor, with this. He's got pictures all over the walls of him with every important person, you know, in the whole country that you'd want to see. And I waited a couple of minutes till he's finished his phone call, and he looks like a very modern, regular businessman, and I'm coming in and with my beard and with my this, and I'm thinking the Gemara says that the rabbis very often would start a class with a joke to get the people to perk up a little bit, and then they'd start getting serious in the Torah. He said, we have to start with something interesting here. He doesn't know me. I said, can I ask you a question? He looks at me. Yeah, what? I said, if instead of me, if it were Bill Gates here, and he came in and he took out his checkbook and he said, I have a couple of minutes. Could you tell me what you need? What would you say? And he's looking at me. What does this rabbi want from my law? Who is this guy? What? I said, no, the reason why I'm asking you is because I meet with Bill Gates' boss. I speak to his boss on a daily basis. You've heard of Bill Gates. In those days, he was number one. I don't know who the number one is today, but imagine if you're meeting with Hashem, and Hashem has his checkbook out, and Hashem says, sure, I have to. What do you need? Would you want to do it in 30 seconds, or would you want to give it 30 minutes? Would you want to give it a whole 30 minutes to really open up and think carefully about what you need and about what the people around you need, people that are important in your life, and really express yourself to provide cups, to prepare cups into which Hashem can give the Shefa? Hashem wants to give, and He has what to give, but He can't give sometimes. If I start pouring a drink and you don't have a cup, it's going to go nowhere. It's going to go nowhere. And when we pray, when we speak to Hashem, we're preparing the cups. Every word of prayer is another vessel into which Hashem can give the Shefa. Any questions?
Is there a better specific time of the day? I mean, like to start the day with this or?
Beautiful. Good question. The answer is, there are some recommendations. One of my rabbis once mentioned that obviously it would be very good if this could be the first thing a person does in the day. Why? Because again, I'm about to start the day. Click, click, click. Decisions. What should I study? Should I study Chumash, Gemara, Halakha? Should I study this? Should I study that? Phone call. Should I answer the call? Should I not answer? Should I make this call now? Or maybe better to call this person in the afternoon. It's a better time. Should I eat this? Should I eat this cereal? Should I eat that? There's thousands of decisions, literally, constantly coming up for us. So the rabbi gave a mashal, an interesting parable. He said that there was, you know what a shatchan is? A matchmaker. So there was a matchmaker who once came to a father of a girl, and he says, I have just the right chatan, just the right boy for your daughter. Let me tell you about this boy. He's a wagon driver. He doesn't even have to hit the horses. He just looks at the horses, and they start running, galloping away. And when he opens his mouth to sing, the birds, all the birds come to listen. They want to hear how he's... And the father's listening. Interesting, interesting, interesting. And he lets the shatchan finish everything he has to say. And he says, I'm sure every word you're saying is true or almost true. But the Torah says that Ein tzadik ba'aretz asher ya'aseh tov v'lo yechteh, that no one's perfect. So I'm sure, just like we have things, imperfections, I'm sure this young man also, there might be... The shatchan says, there's one issue with him. But again, I told you the list of qualities in. He's got one problem, he's got a temper. He's got a temper, and every once in a while he gets upset. When he gets upset, he can throw a table, he can break a window, he can, you know. But other than that, he's a wonderful, good, sweet, but you know, great guy. The father listens, and he says, you know what? Let's see if we can draw a picture of this shidduch. And he draws a circle, and on the outside he writes singer, he writes all the qualities on the outside of the circle, and in the middle he writes the word meshuga, crazy. And then he starts drawing lines, and he says, this one problem that he has can affect everything. A person who has this kind of thing, he's a loose cannon. He's capable at any point in time of going crazy, going nuts, you know. He said, that's like a person starting the day without first consulting with Hashem. I'm about to start the day, I'm going to go learn. If I didn't first ask Hashem to help me learn properly, to understand what I'm learning, and to interpret it correctly, and to absorb it, and to be able to know how to apply it, how can I learn? Or I'm going to go pray. I'm going to go pray shachrit. Help me be zocheh to pray with kavana. I should come on time. I should be able to pray with the right people. Every single thing going on in my life, to the degree that I can. Here again, Hashem doesn't expect from a person what we can't do. A person will say, hey, the way you're talking, I have to be doing this 24 hours a day, then I can't. No, no, no. Hashem doesn't want 24 hours. Rabbi Nachman said that a very high level to try to get to would be if a person could do this for an hour, to set aside an hour to do this. But a person doesn't start with an hour. You start with 10 minutes, 5, 10 minutes. And you try to do that for a month or two, religiously, seriously, that I know this is one of the highlights of my day. I'm meeting with Bill Gates' boss, and he's got his checkbook out, and he wants to hear from me. The Gemara shows in 100 places, Hashem wants nothing more. Hashem says, talk to me, please talk to me. And if a person does this, it's a phenomenal, phenomenal connection to Hashem. Time of day. One option, one choice is the first time of the day. Rabbi Nachman says another option is when it's quiet, really quiet, quiet still. Just the fact that there's less action going on, even if you're in your own room, the fact that outside, boom, 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 it doesn't allow the same level of concentration and connection to Hashem, as that's another option. A third option is if a person has the ability to go out to a field or a park where it's quiet in nature, because the grass and the trees also speak to Hashem. It's called Siach HaSadeh. Siach means speech. And if you're in a place like that where there's grass and vegetation, your prayer is enhanced by their prayers also. So there is a variety of choices. Each Chatzot, midnight, is considered one of the very, very, very special times when the gates of heaven are open, when Hashem goes to visit Tzadikim. There are many options. I've heard from my rabbis that a person should be familiar with the different options and try to pick what works for them. That's the most important thing. You know what you think you can...
Yeah, no, I was just... The initial thought of the question was, is it better actually to do Shacharit or to pray before, but to exalt HaKadosh Baruch Hu before getting to your own personal thing?
Well, the answer is that even in Shacharit, if you look at Shacharit, if you look at the Amidah, it's a combination of all the things we spoke about. So those prayers are similar to this. Shacharit, Mincha, Arvit are similar, but it's in Hebrew. And it's a script that somebody else wrote. Somebody else wrote these ones. Versus you writing the script in your own language. And again, the Rambam writes that in previous generations, this is what everybody did. There was only personal prayer. When the rabbis saw that people were getting weaker, the generations were getting weaker, they formalized the prayer into the three times. But the Rambam writes, that doesn't excuse a person from communicating with Hashem regarding what's going on in my life today. Today, I'm in Yerushalayim. I'm in Eish HaTorah. I'm not in Mexico. Today, it's something different than it was last week. Today, what are the things that are going on in my life today that I need to pray for? My mother should have a complete refuah shleima. Each one of the things going on now that a person wants to connect to Hashem. And again, this is the Bechol Derachecha Da'ehu, that you're knowing Hashem in all of your ways, in what's going on in your world today. You're taking your whole world today and plugging it into Hashem. And if a person does it with sincerity during that period, those 10 minutes, those 15 minutes, that forms such a deep connection that for the rest of the day, there's a connection there. There's a very serious connection. Please.
So how can you manage, because this is really communicating with Him and connecting with Him, rather than in Shacharit, where you are just reading the words but not feeling them.
Exactly. The answer is that even Shacharit, it's good for a person to try to learn. Today, Baruch Hashem, we have tools, we have translations into Spanish, into English, other languages. A person should try on their level to get to understand the regular prayers also, Shacharit and Harit. But Rabbi Nachman tells us, even if a person knows the Hebrew well, you can't compare it. If English is my natural language, I can definitely express myself more clearly. So again, this is not instead of Shacharit. Once the rabbis establish these prayers, they're very important. Whether you understand it or not, they still have tremendous value. But this prayer, this Hit Bodedut, is in a class of its own. It's a unique connection to Hashem for you and your family, everything, you know, that you'll see for yourself that it's something very, very special. To be continued tomorrow, B'srat Hashem. Same time, same channel.